This is Eric Campbell. You can find me at ericcampbell.com.
This is Brian Walker with Image Armor Pretreatment and Inks.
Johnny Shell with SGIA.
Scott Fresner with T-Biz and Network International.
And you're listening to Two Regular Guys Podcast.
Podcast hosted by Terry Combs
and Aaron Montgomery.
If you're not listening, you're missing out. All right. Well, welcome into the show. It is Friday, April 30th, 2021. I'm Terry Combs, and you can find me at terrycombs.com.
And I'm Mary Montgomery, and you can find me over at oursuccessgroup.com. Terry, today we're going to be welcoming back to the show Vic Autry, who's been with us before. Always love talking to Vic. And today we're going to discuss B2B marketing strategies and kind of stay focused on the sales revenue from local businesses, schools, et cetera. And Vic is the founder of iPersonalize. So looking forward to learning from Vic again here today. And like I said, we always have a blast talking to Vic too. So
we should have been recording before we went on the air, Aaron, because we could have had a lot of wedding advice since Vic has five daughters.
Exactly. So we'll look forward to talking to Vic here in just a moment, Terry. But a couple of news items here. So you want to start us off, please, sir?
Yeah, absolutely. Printing United Alliance announces the recipients of its annual Sustainable Business Recognition Awards. Printing United Alliance celebrates Earth Day 2021 by recognizing the recipient of its annual Sustainable Business Recognition Awards. Member companies submit details about their sustainable, sustainable business practices, operations instituted in reducing the company's environmental footprint, improvements to employee safety and well-being, all while optimizing the company's bottom line. All applications are reviewed and recommended for award designation by Printing United Alliance's high-profile Sustainability, Safety, Health, and Personnel Advisory Council. So. Awesome. Easy for me to say. How about you, Aaron?
We should have. There's no names in the one that I have to read either. So I just figured. Yeah. But Eric's got it in the comments there. If you want to go check it out, you can find all that information about that Printing United Alliance. Yeah, I can't say it either, Terry. All right. So for me, Terry, I have the new live FESPA virtual event series helps printers get from fit, sorry, helps printers get fit for recovery. We're really blowing it with the news things. But the interactive live online events and are each themed around a particular area of technology and applications. FESPA is introducing FIT, FESPA Innovations and Trends. It's a new series of live virtual events aimed at helping printers plan effectively for their business recovery. The interactive live online events are each themed around a particular area of technology and applications, giving visitors a focused environment in which to engage with new products and explore trends. The first two events of the series will take place in May and June of 2021. And Eric has got the information right there in the comments if you want to check that out. bit.ly/FESPAFIT. So should be some good information from the folks over there at FESPA. But let's check in real quick with some of the regulators here, Terry, before I know you've got a question for them too, but yeah. Let's check in. Christine, good morning. And Eric in the comments. Gusta, thank you for tuning in from Sweden. And good morning, Todd. And Christine says, Aaron is using the living room setup. Yes, I do have the living room setup today. At 1 o'clock Central Time today, my wife is actually going to be sitting in this chair presenting the Empowering Mindset Masterclass. So we got it all set up for her because she'll be sitting here presenting that class. And then she's also going to be teaching some yoga. So we'll move it and get it. Lots of really great stuff happening at 1 o'clock Central Time. I'll be the Eric sitting off camera trying to do as good a job as Eric does.
That's kind of crazy, Aaron, because I also am going to be doing a yoga class online at 1 o'clock today.
Are you really?
No.
I was going to say, I tried to do the little things that, yeah.
paints a picture though, doesn't it?
It does. I'll try to join in. So no, it's going to be blast. So yeah, we're all set up here in the living room today and excited for that to happen after the half today. So, Let's see what else we've got here. Curtis checking in, and Katie, and Tina, thanks for being here. Marion and Dale. we now know who the boss is in that house. Absolutely, Dale. Never a question, actually. So, all right. Well, Terry, you've got some questions you'd like to ask the regulators.
Well, here. Yeah, just curious. I'm actually 2 weeks from now, not exhibiting, but I'm going to shoot down to Dallas Irving and kind of walk around Graphics Pro Expo to see what vendors are there and see what attendees are there, and taking my little digital recorder and hopefully talk to some folks that are going to be walking around and see what they think about this first real trade show. I mean, this is the show that last year was cut off after day one and they sent us all home. And so this is really the first show back, and I'm curious, who is going to be there as an exhibitor, any of our listeners, and what listeners are going to be maybe walking around the show. So, let us know in the comments if you're going to be there, and more curious than anything.
Yeah, definitely. I thought maybe you were going to switch over to like full YouTube there and go, let us know in the comments and make sure you like and subscribe below. Hit the button. we're so beyond all that and not very cool. So, yeah, so definitely, I'm curious to know that as well. I will not be making it to Irving, unfortunately, but I am very much looking forward to live events coming back very soon. So I know for me, I'm already getting prepared for the DAX Kansas City event. So there we go. Eric says, smash that like button and ring the bell. All right. So, regulators, who's going to be in Irving? Yes or no? Just yes or no. Let us know. And if you are going to be in Irving, let us know if you're there as an attendee or an exhibitor. So, what's the dates? Do you remember the dates on that off the top? You said about 2 weeks.
It's 14th and 15th, I think. Friday. I think it's a Friday Saturday show. So that would be May 14th and 15th. So really, it's 2 weeks from today.
Nice. Well, Kim Johnson says, I think I'm going. So that's good with the giggles. And then Christine says, I'll be in Irving in July, but for a different show. Subtle or not so subtle plug for the applique getaway. So yeah,
July. The greatest name for an event of all time. Yeah, applique getaway. I love that.
It is fantastic. So that's
I don't even do applique and I want to go. I just want the badge.
I just want the badge. There you go. So there we go. Eric's got GPX Irving Convention Center, May 13th through the 15th. There. Cool. All right, Terry. Well, we'll let the regulators get in there and let us know if they're going to be there in Irving or not. But while they're doing that, how about a dad joke? You got anything good lined up for us?
I've got one, and be ready to groan just a little bit. Okay. This is all right. Here it goes. What does James Bond do before he goes to sleep?
What does he do before he goes to sleep?
He goes undercover.
we got to get that drum.
Yeah, we definitely have to have the rim shot drum.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So Marion says, I'm in the middle of downsize, moving my business, so probably not going to make it to Irving, though we would love to go. So there we go.
I have spoken to a couple of people who said, not going to Irving, but I'll probably make it for Fort Worth, which is a little later in the year. I think some people are thinking that things will be a little more settled by then. But, you know, hey, Aaron, I don't know what it's like for you in St. Louis, but when I hear things like, well, if everything goes well, I'll be able to celebrate 4th of July with this very small gathering. And I'm thinking, well, I had 20 people at my house 4th of July last year. So is anybody aware of what's going on in the rest of the country?
Yeah.
It's like, I think I mentioned last week that the high school near me has been in school all year. And then you hear about people who still aren't in school. I just don't get it, but
yeah. Hey. Yeah. It's definitely different in different places, you know, for here us in the St. Louis area out on the west part of St. Louis here in St. Peter's. Our son has been going to school, live school all year long. They wear masks all day and do a really good job, and they have not had any major outbreaks there or anything like that. You know, a couple people have gotten it, but nothing serious. So, you know, yeah. It's going to be different in different places. And, you know, so I think now that, you know, vaccines are really getting out there and covering more, I think it's going to be, hopefully, again, we talk about getting back to normal, but you know, what is normal? So,
yeah. And, you know, we recently did talk also about, you know, what's going to stay the same. I mean, what's going to that changed a year ago. What are we going to keep from it? And, you know, there's probably some good things business-wise that came out of it. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. So, Shandy said, I have to fit in one day between soccer schedule. So there you go. and Todd says, Coven listens to the restrictions we set. Laughing out loud. good morning, Marshall. Thanks for being here. Good morning. And then Eric shared that New Mexico is finally opening up, I believe, in June. Very different story here. So Amy shared, here in New Jersey, schools get closed every other day. So yeah, it's different in different places. So, and Bill, very, very good point. In 9 years, I don't think we've ever done normal, but do you guys have a normal ?
Well, first of all, we're garment decorators. So normal is probably a little bit different for us than a lot of people.
Exactly. normal has never been part of our vocabulary. So. All right. Well, we need to talk here today, Terry. So let's keep moving.
All right, Aaron, before we go any further, we want to thank everybody for checking out the Two Regular Guys podcast. We are always looking for new guests. So if you or anyone you know would like to join us, go to calendly.com/2, Regular Guys, with your show ideas. If you are listening to the podcast version of the show, we would appreciate you sharing the Two Regular Guys with your industry friends so they can become regulators too. We'd love for you to give us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Amazon Podcast, or wherever you do your podcast listening. And if you're watching us live right now, please join in with your comments and questions. Reach out to your industry friends so they can join us today, too.
Absolutely. We would love to have all of the regulators and soon-to-be regulators along with us, so make sure that they know. Let's hear a quick word from my company, Our Success Group, and then we'll get Vic in.
Are you struggling to get your arms around your overhead? Does pricing your products and knowing how much it costs to make something keep you up at night? Do you dread large orders because you have no workflow or process? Are customers a one-and-done drain on your growing business? Is getting new customers and dealing with marketing a challenge? Welcome to the OSG Squad. Become a member of Our Success Group and make the investment to build on a foundation that will lead you to success. We exist to support small businesses in the decorators community with foundational resources like calculating overhead, pricing for profit, business planning, and marketing basics. Plus, we add in the proper mindset so you can believe in yourself and charge what you're worth. We help with setting goals you will achieve and give you success principles to build upon. Our monthly or annual membership experience provides bi-weekly live training. You also get access to all past training videos we've done since our inception in January of 2020. Members also have a private Facebook group that we describe as a brainstorming group without all the Facebook drama. For more information and to get some free resources so you can see what OSG is all about, go to oursuccessgroup.com/empowered. Again, oursuccessgroup.com/empowered. We can't wait to be in the OSG community with you.
All right. Well, thank you guys for checking that out. Again, if you have interest, head over to oursuccessgroup.com/empowered and you get some free resources and you also get on the mailing list for future information. And again, love to have you guys in the OSG community. But Terry,
I actually changed the little slot there marking it, that commercial in our outline to OMG, but I guess Eric didn't think it was funny and changed it back.
Close enough. OMG, OSG, all the same thing. Right? All right. Well, let's do this, Terry. Let's welcome in Vic Autry from iPersonalize, and we can ask him all about what who the heck he is if you are, have not caught him on the Two Regular Guys yet. So welcome in, Vic.
Oh, Was that today we were doing this?
Yeah.
Luckily you had your camera on.
Yeah, luckily. And I want to thank you, Terry, for not making fun of me for not having any sons and mentioned I had five daughters. You know, thank you for that. I've been accused of all kinds of problems not having any boys, but I even changed wives. I still had it. What else can you do? Well, you know. Anyway, thank you for letting me be here. I'm Victor Autry with iPersonalize, and iPersonalize is a company we've been around about 8 years now. We do online product personalization for people that are in the digital production industries, sublimators, direct-to-garment, all kinds of digital processes that happen. We create the artwork and let it flow through and let people see it online dynamically, and that's what we do. Build Shopify stores and work with BigCommerce and WooCommerce. And that's my ad for today. That's it. So I'm done.
Perfect. All right. Well, that was great having you, Vic. We'll talk. No.
See you next time, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's dive into what we wanted to talk about here today, selling B2B. So how does selling B2B differ from selling to B2C, typical end users? What's the difference?
Well, it's a lot easier, I think, in general. It's hard to get going with it, but once you get it established, it's really a lot easier. When you get a B2B account, and it's typically a company that's going to want their logo on a product, they are doing that because obviously they're trying to get impressions. They want to have executive gifts. They're trying to make somebody happy. It's usually a simpler graphic, number one. The difficulty is establishing that initial relationship with the company. And a lot of people are afraid to do that, or they don't think there's anybody around them that they can work with on that. And maybe it's not a company. Maybe it's a school. Maybe it's a nonprofit and so forth. But what I want to mention, what I want to get to today is that I think having some B2B business, local businesses in your area. And when I say business, I do mean nonprofits, schools, any kind of organization that has its own logo or events or employees or so forth. That's what we're talking about, as opposed to B2C, which is actually just selling to individual consumers, personalized gifts, so forth. That's a huge industry. A lot of folks that we work with are just focused on B2C. And I always tell them, you know, you're missing out because have you looked around your community to see what companies are around you? How about the schools? Are you a member of the booster club at a school? Are you, is your child playing football, or is your daughter in the drill team? Or maybe that should be the other way around. I don't know nowadays. But either way, the point is there's plenty of organizations, schools, leagues, soccer leagues, and so forth. All of those groups can be considered B2B, and you'll be. And once you get that relationship established with them, those orders are recurring. They're a lot easier to get. Even if you can do a company store for a company, you know, once you're there and you have their logo, they're going to tend to call you whenever they have a special event where they may need 500 shirts or something, or you know, whatever. If you have that relationship with them, it just smooths the way with both the graphics and getting the order. And they usually will call you well in advance to make sure things are taken care of. So I think building your business, you know, if you're into B2C and you're selling to consumers online or locally or what have you, great. But going after even realtors or insurance agents locally and having that foundation of recurring orders that are just the same order over and over again is a great way to great foundation to build your business. Recurring orders, it's much easier that way.
Yeah, once you have that logo on file, it's pretty easy to move on from there. Yeah,
it's pretty easy. You know, I get this question: what do you mean by B2B? And I know most of us know what that is, but again, it is selling directly to an organization, and B2C is to consumers. Believe it or not, a lot of folks are confused by our jargon of this stuff. So I want to make sure those key terms are kind of out of the way today. But you know, you can B2C is typically you're selling on Facebook or you're selling on Amazon or Etsy. Maybe you have a website that you're selling B2C, but B2B is, you know, a company store or nonprofits, schools, again, leagues with their logos. In the B2B area, there's really, and I was in the promotional industry for too long, 25 years. And we kind of built our organization. You know, I was the Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Arkansas, TOLA rep. And they, when I got into it in 1990, you know, the idea was, is to build a foundation of company stores that you would have recurring orders. I mean, you worked your tail off getting it set up the first time. And you, you know, you got to get everything defined and get it down and get it refined and get that store up. But after that, it was gravy train. This orders just roll in. That's really nice. Okay. Especially nowadays when if you're printing and your time is of essence to you, it's really great just to have orders coming in on a regular basis, pretty much the same order over and over again. That's really nice. But the other part of it is special, or we used to call them direct orders, where the same company is just has a special event, or they're buying something one time to reward their employees, or maybe they're having their annual safety awards or recognition awards, and they're buying plaques and so forth, or giving everybody shirts. I'm saying this for you, Terry, because you brought up about apparel. Okay. All of that. But whatever it is, they will, those are special direct orders. And so you have that another layer of gravy on top of your regular company business. If you have a standard company store set up with preset SKUs that they're going to order all the time from you over and over again. That's the easy business you can get. Back in the day, we called them company programs, and it's the same thing as a company store. These are from my days of many folks were in the promotional industry like I was. And when I talk programs, sometimes people go, what are you talking about? A program? Is it I have to get a developer in? And no, we're talking about a company store is a set of preset SKUs that you sit down with them. Used to be once a year and set these up. And these products were typically inventory. They were produced and put on the shelf. And that was because back in the day, the production was all done with analog, long run screen printing and big runs of, you know, embroidery and so forth, big multi-head machines that they'd run 100 shirts and throw them on the shelf. Well, you can imagine nowadays, people don't want to invest in inventory or take the chance to invest in inventory. So they tend to want to. So the beauty of it is that this has all come around. You talked about some of the changes with COVID and everything. Print on demand, where orders come in and you print them then. You take that's when you print them. You don't print them in advance. You print them in and get them out in 2 or 3 days. That all every corporate program I've talked to in the last couple of years, when you start talking about no inventory commitment, that really turns the crank with them. Oh, good. We don't have to do that. I like to tell a story at this point about when after 9/11, I went into American Airlines, and it was a $1 million program, and for marketing and employees, all kinds of people ordered it. They had many programs, but this one, and we used to put $200,000 to $300,000 worth of inventory on the shelf for these folks, $200,000 to $300,000. And we walked in after 9/11, their airplanes had blasted through the towers, and they were on their backs. And they're financial. They said, you know, we're not going to sign that inventory agreement anymore. We're just not going to do it. If you want our business, you need to take the risk. Oh, you mean I'm going to have inventory with your logo on it that you're not may not buy? You know, is that, you know, it's kind of like, oh, so, you know, we did what I was with Staples Promotional at the time. And we did what most companies would do is they said, OK, well, instead of turning that inventory 4 or 5 times a year, we're going to turn it like 8 or 9, put smaller amounts in there because we don't want, and the service levels went down. And that's when the light bulb went off in my head, print on demand, doing things on demand as they come in. Digital production is really the wave of the future. I was ahead of the game on that, but it is now finally the last several years, it's really struck home, but particularly now, Terry, with COVID, I think it's one of those changes that it's going to be it's going to be more or less permanent. So it's a big difference. And I like to call those types of stores digital company stores, because you can produce, if you know you're going to sell 500 of a t-shirt, all year long, you're going to sell those. Okay, well, go ahead and screen print those and throw them on the shelf if you want to. It's certainly be a little bit cheaper to do that if you have the financial means to do that. But other than that, you can print them on demand. And it also enables you to change the product mix that's in that store or company program by seasonality. You couldn't really do that in the prior days because you had these agreements and you had inventory there, and it was just tough to make that happen, to make those changes. So you kind of ignored seasonality. But now you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of different kinds of stores. It's just easier to build that relationship when you have that ongoing relationship with it could be a human resources department. It could be the purchasing department. It could be the safety director. It could be, and I'll tell you, it's much overlooked, but one really good place to get B2B business is the executive secretary of one of the top executives that's handling their top salespeople or top dealers or distributors. There's a guy there, if there's a bigger company and they've got, again, groups like that, either distributors that bring all the business to them, or maybe it's a dealer network, like Skeeter Boats I used to handle. They had, Skeeter boat dealers all over the country. And they'd come in, and I'll tell you what, they were always humping to please those guys when they come in. They were sending them gifts all the time. And that's, they need that. And usually you think the executive guy or woman, let me be politically correct here, the executive is going to handle the place on that. Or no, they have their assistant come in. And they say, hey, find me this and get this for so-and-so. Don't spend over $200, or whatever. And that's good executive gift business. And it's really good stuff.
And Vic, it doesn't have to be American Airlines. Our listeners right now, there are businesses in your community that maybe don't realize that they could have a company store for their employees or for their other divisions, things like that. So yeah. It's a real opportunity.
Yeah, and I started with the bigger company because that's where I was. But the facts are that even if it, say, it's a big company like, just a big trucking company or something like that, they have locations. And we used to have these corporate programs, and they were all supposed to buy from that corporate program. Well, guess what? They don't in the local areas. That local manager will buy. We used to call it leakage, or where are all these orders we were supposed to do? All these orders. Well, they're going out to the local folks because that's where they're from, and they're supporting their local community. And so you can be in on that and pick up some of that local business. So no matter how big the company is, if they have a local division that maybe prints for them here or manufactures a certain product for them here, or what have you, there's still somebody there that's buying these products. And it could be in a lot of different places. Now, I will say you're better off if you find somebody, if they have a marketing group versus somebody that has instead of the purchasing group, because the purchasing guys, all they look at is numbers, right? And they're looking at what? But if you go with the marketing group, they're after more better things and new ideas. It's a little easier sell to work with the marketing group than the purchasing folks. But on the screen here, I have name badges. Gosh, so you can, if you get a company that has people that are walking around wearing name badges, or maybe it's nurses. If you got a nursing organization or a hospital nearby you, go call them a hospital and find out what are they doing. A certain uniform. You pretty easy to do scrubs and things too.
Sure.
And sometimes they're wearing badges on these scrubs because they've stopped printing on them because they go both ways for security reasons. They want everybody to have something on there that carefully identifies who they are. So, name badges are great. There's a lot of different types of programs, either employee or dealer. You should call them dealer loader programs. I mentioned Skeeter Boats. They had about $800,000 a year with them. They only had 110 dealers around the country, but boy, were they rabid fans of that logo. And you put anything, any kind of Skeeter logo on any kind of product, and boy, they wanted it. But that's just examples from my past.
Well, you know, Vic, and let's talk about products a little bit. You know, most of our listeners are garment heavy. You mentioned that before, but talk to us about decorated products that sell. I think I read that on your on some website or something that where you talk about what sells. What are some of the products that our listeners should be selling right now?
Well, I tell you, I mentioned realtors and insurance agents, and I'm talking about local areas about how you can get into them. And the products that they will buy were, these are coasters. Can you change my screen? Are you seeing a coaster up on my screen, or did it change properly for you? A Bishop? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So these are coasters, four coasters that a gentleman, that one of our clients, he does about 1,000 of these a month. And he does this for realtors real estate's hot right now. And these guys are all selling, there's no inventory on homes, so they're selling every home they can get. They're able to go in and offer, these are just coasters so that they're putting the name of the customer on. Here's one, they're just putting the logo on and telling them when they bought in. You can't see it very well here, but down the bottom here, there's, in our system, we allow the agent to put his name down in here. Would show up right down here. So they give them a coaster. This is a great closing gift. They give them a coaster with their initials on it. So they're going to refer, you know, they're going to use that, and they're going to see it. And you know, that realtor knows he might get some business out of that again. They may move again in a couple of years. Here's a lantern they're giving away. Same idea, where they're able to personalize it a little bit. They don't have to be personalized, but I think that adds some good perceived value to do personalization on products. Sure. So,
the end user is going to hold on to it a lot more if it's personalized, you know.
if you put somebody's name or an image of them or something emotional about them, there's no question that they will hold on to that. And you know, the day comes that trying to clean out their closet and throw things away, they'll look at that and they go, "Oh no, this has my name on it." It's a feeling that they don't. It stops everybody. So the more they look at it, the more impressions they get, and people in the advertising, marketing, and they know that. That's what they're after when they're spending those dollars for B2B. They're after impressions. And so this is a great way to boost the number of impressions and lower the cost per impression easily by having by putting names and something that is meaningful. That's all called one-to-one marketing. It's marketing to an individual instead of the analogy I like to give is, you know, you have a brick wall. You can market to the entire brick wall, or you can market to the bricks in the wall. And if you can do that, it's far more effective, and you'll build loyalty and have a recurring customer. It'll just work better for you over and over again. But where do you find these people? Again, realtors, locally, schools, principals, coaches, booster clubs, any school organization, medium-sized companies are great. You know, if they've got an HR, sales and marketing department, event planners, if they're big enough to have an event planner on staff and do that, safety managers, there may be an employee organization. And again, larger companies that have dealer networks, even though that Skeeter boat down the street may be getting a lot of their stuff from their corporate program, you can still go in there, and I promise you, they're buying over half their stuff from. They're not supposed to be doing that. They're supposed to be supporting the corporate spend on that program, but you know they all do it. So I used to work with Peterbilt too up in Denton, Texas. Their program was huge. They did $5 million. I didn't get all that program, trust me, but they were supposed to be $5 million. Well, when it comes into $2 million, you go, well, where is all this stuff? Oh, well, yeah, they're doing that locally. So that's business you can pick up. That's businesses there. Don't shy away from that. You know, nonprofits are great too. And of course, divisions of any company. So, but a thing you also need to do as a tactical matter is is to just go ahead and get yourself listed with Google My Business locally. If you blog and can get your product and information out on a blog, that's always a great thing to do. One strategy I used for a while was successful was actually finding out where those realtors are, insurance agency. Most of them will get together, especially realtors, they'll get together every month. They have a meeting, breakfast meeting usually, on a Friday morning at the end of the month. And you go there and just go to a couple of meetings and sit down there and talk to them, get to know them. And then as you get to know them, ask them if you can make a presentation, okay? And say, look, and find out who their big hitters are, and give that guy a coaster or a cutting board or whatever you want to push for that kind of thing. Or a shirt. I'm sorry, Terry. give them a whatever you want. But put their name on it, or just give them something nice, put their logo on it. Boy, they will never forget you.
Yeah.
And so if you can pick up what they're selling homes, two or three homes a month, and you got a group of 20 realtors that are pumping that business to you, it's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad at all.
For sure. So,
free samples, I always like.
Yeah, definitely. In fact, Vic, Jim Kozicka says, those are some nice gifts after buying a home. Trinkets are nice. So.
Yeah, they are. I almost feel like they ought to give you a whole bunch of stuff, shouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Same, all that commission.
So, yeah. So, Vic, I want to shift gears just a hair here. And you were talking about marketing and some great strategies to get in front of people. You and I have also had some private conversations as we talk. You've mentioned influencers and whatnot. So
yeah.
After you said that, I've been trying to get the Kardashians to take my calls. It's fun. It just isn't working out. No, I'm just kidding.
You need to probably work out a little bit more.
Yeah. But I know influencers aren't the Kardashians, right? I mean, that's what we think of there first. But maybe could you just talk to us a little bit about that, what you and I've kind of talked about and your thoughts on influencers?
And I've used a gentleman, influencers, people online on Facebook. Technically you're an influencer. You guys are influencers, of course. But there's many others. You're not the only ones, unfortunately. I think you should be, but you're not.
We appreciate that.
Me too.
Such personalities, you just can't come by that regularly. But there are lots of people that are influencers in their little groups. And I know you probably know some yourself, but you can contact those people and, work with them. If they have a good social media site, Facebook page, Instagram page, Pinterest, where they're showing ideas and products and so forth, you can find those people. It's not necessarily local, but they'll have some influence there. And that's a good source of getting somebody to work with you and mention you. And it's good. They've already got people in their network who are interested in what they're talking about. And if there's the same thing you're interested in selling to, then it's a built-in, it's an easier sell than just a cold call. So yeah. It's a very warm sell. So I suggest you do that. I use a couple guys that do print-on-demand influencers on Facebook. And they've got 70, 80,000 followers of people that they work with. And so, those are people that are interested in.
Yeah,
and selling products that are print on demand, either drop shipping them or having a store that they produce them themselves or whatever.
Yeah,
and so I found Vic, that to be very good.
Yeah, so Vic, what does it look like when you say working with an influencer? I mean, do they get a cut? How do you normally set something like that up?
They're all different. In the apparel world, there's a gentleman called Michael Essex, E-S-S-E-K, I believe. He's a British, which eliminates him for some people, but he's a huge influencer and on coming up with ideas for t-shirts. And he has got a huge following. For instance, he would not endorse a single product, but he might review you. He might review some of your products and talk about it one time. He won't endorse it because but some of them do endorse your product and they'll tell you, they say, look, I work with this company and I really think I've tried it. And typically if they do endorse you exclusively, they're going to want some money, either monthly or a percentage of sale or something like that. Or maybe you know, you can set up, if you have a website, you can set up an affiliate link there where you can pay somebody an override, 10, 15%, 20%, if they send you some business your way.
Sure.
So it's kind of all over the board.
Yeah, no, that's great advice.
No hard, fast rule on it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Well, so Vic, when you see competitors out there, what mistakes do people make when they're out trying to sell B2B? I'm sure you've come in behind and scooped up some business. What mistakes did the person ahead of you make in trying to reach that marketplace?
You know, I think most of that sale is based on person to person. It's true one-to-one marketing, and it's establishing a trusting relationship where they know they can count on you. Because the biggest mistake, I mean, the opportunity, I always thought when I heard that a competitor had a problem, it's usually because they didn't deliver their product. You know, for instance, we were doing the Byron Nelson Classic Golf PGA Tournament in Dallas in Irving, Texas. And we sent down 5,000 American Airlines baseball caps, okay, or caps they were going to give away. They came down 2 days in advance, and they looked at them. They said, the red in our logo is wrong. That done. Chuck those. Throw them on the floor. We produced another 5,000 and got them down there the opening day. It was afternoon. But we still got them down there. And that was a misstep. Boy, they never let us forget it either. And for event planners and people like that that are doing events and they have to have something there, that's one of the biggest missteps you'll find out. And it happens all the time. And because they've ordered too late and they haven't gone to the customer, the business customer, and said, okay, now what do you got going this year? When are you going to need stuff? Okay. Let me get ahead of the game here. And many, many, many distributors, people that are in that business don't do that. They don't set up a marketing or a calendar like that. And if you do that, stay ahead of it so you can eliminate problems, but that's also an opportunity for everybody else, you know, if they mess up.
Yeah.
Well, like I always say, do good work, deliver on time. Do good work, deliver on time.
and we all know that in any business, if you set your expectations with them up front, I do a lot of software development and so forth, and I have learned, to go through and say, clearly, this is what we're going to do. This is what we need you to do. And this is the milestone here. If you want to put milestones in there, we're going to hit this milestone by this time. We're going to hit this one, and then do what you say. And once you get that relationship established and they trust you, then, you know, you're in for years. I mean, the great thing is, if you can get a good account like that, you may only need the one account. I don't recommend that. But when I was in the promo world, I had guys that some of my fellows that were also did what I did selling, they might have a $2 or $3 million account. That's all they had. That's all they worked on. One account, and it goes away. You're out of business almost.
Right.
We were all selling on commission, which is fine. But you get those relationships, man, they get to where they rely on you over and over again, and you're in. I mean, just don't blow it.
For sure. Love it. And I love that the part that you said there, Vic. I think this is true of any business, no matter B2B, B2C, yeah, our industry, other industries, you know, that whole idea of just do what you say.
Go out of your way to set those expectations, and before you, everybody goes, I mean, really go out of your way to do that. I have learned not to assume that everybody knows what everybody's going to do. Yes. I even, you know, when we're doing software, I even say, I want one contact person. If I'm in a position to, I say, I've been dealing with the committee here, but who am I to deal with? One person that you can deal with. Because when you're trying to make two or three people happy and they're on different pages, you'll never succeed.
All right, Vic. So let's just assume that we're talking to somebody right now that has been pretty much solely focused on the B2C, the end user customers. And they've listened to you here. They said, man, this Vic guy is really smart. I want to do this. I want to get into this B2B world. So what's the piece of advice that you would give them when it comes to getting started in B2B?
Well, you know, first thing I do is make sure they're listed locally and so people can find them. But then just look around at the organizations that are around you, your schools. That's an obvious one. The clubs that are there in the schools, that those are pretty easy for people to find. The only negative about schools is that, you know, I've talked about having that relationship that goes in year after year. Well, it doesn't happen with schools that way because the buyers usually change. You know, the booster club president changes every other year. That's the only negative about it. But if you get in with the administration and principals or assistant principals who run things, that's great. But look around. I mean, even if it's a division of a bigger company, a dealership of any kind, even as a bigger company, you think, oh, well, they're part of that. I couldn't possibly work with that company. No, they do. There's a real push to go after, to support local business, local small business. And so go after, just look around you and see who's there. Universities, Google, who's the largest employer in my area?
Yeah.
Look that up. I would look at real estate agents in my area. I mean, you'll probably get a big list of them.
Sure.
And then, then call, you got to do a little investigative work. But that's what sales is all about. And that's really what we're coming down to is how do you get in front of the right people that can buy?
Yeah.
And, you've got to push it a little bit but just do research, find out where the people are meeting, and show your wares. I don't think going into these meetings or going into things and showing pictures, show them something. Cause if you have a nice quality product, and you show it to them, they go, oh, this is nice. Next time we need something, I'll call you. Okay, great. Here's my card.
Yeah.
Answer your question, sir.
Yeah, I think so. In fact, Ramona says, don't forget local hospitals and medical services.
Oh, yeah.
Our local nursing hospitals. Groups.
Oh, medical. Oh, my goodness. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Nurses Appreciation Week nowadays is there. I forget when that is. Maybe someone here knows better. I think it was April or May. They have a Nurses Appreciation Week that, God, we used to do a lot of business with that.
Yeah, that's great. Great idea. Great idea. Yeah. So, Vic, I'm starting to do this. I'm finding the right folks. But technologically, I mean, what do I need to think about differently there? Obviously, a program like yours with iPersonalize, you could do like a company store. Talk to us a little bit about that side.
That's an option. And we do company stores with products that maybe you're making and selling B2C. If you wanted to sell some, I get this question all the time. What if I do have three or four companies? How do I do that on one store? Well, you can set up, you have a menu up there and you have drinkware, mugs. Well, you can also have this school district or this company up there. Make that product category be for a certain organization or set up a tab that says organizations, then have a drop down where you can go to different organizations. And each one of those organizations would have a landing page attached to it. So if you advertise, if you can find out their Facebook fan page, find out they may have a big employee group. If you can advertise on that fan page, and you can, and bring them back from there to you, the landing page on your website where they've got all their, all the corporate products already, decorated. They see it. Great. I sell product personalization. Agreed. But they don't all have to be that way. It can be standard, what we call standard print on demand products that do not use an online designer where they're just buying a product with a logo on it.
Sure.
It's simpler. And you can do that through a wide variety of platforms, GoDaddy or Wix or Squares, all of them have platforms that you can sell those basic day run of the mill day to day stuff that aren't as cool as my personalized product. I'm just messing with
you. That's fine. No, it's good. I love it. You were showing us right there on the
yeah.
In fact, Jerry Dahlheimer has a question for you here, Vic. He says, Does Vic offer any startup packages to get started?
Well, yes, we do.
Okay. But so there you go. That was an easy answer. Yes. And our intrepid producer is on top of Nurses Week here. Nurses Week 2021 will take place between Thursday, May 6th and Wednesday, May 12th. Yes. So get that stuff out there quick. Start calling next week. Right now.
Yeah. I think medical is a great opportunity, and I should have probably led with medical and realtors and so forth, because the nursing groups, the home health care groups, they're all buying stuff. I'm telling you, they got money. You like people with money.
Yeah. Well, Vic, speaking of Jerry's question, do you do the startup package? Where can our listeners find you? How can they reach out to you?
If they want to go to ipersonalize.com, is a good way to find me. ipersonalyze.com. There's a schedule demo button there, or I can put up my other, I guess they can't. Are you still seeing my screen there, guys? I'm available at 888-678-6344, or email me at victor@ipersonalyze. Many ways to contact me. I'd like to talk about, we do have a startup package. It's where you can basically build your own Shopify store. And then if you want to, and we're not building the store, we're giving you a development store that you build. Something many people can do that, and it's fairly straightforward. So there's not a big setup fee. We can build the whole store, but we build it with you, because it's the way it has to be if it's going to work.
Sure.
But we have a startup store, and then we can even put in there, in the startup store, we can even put products that are all drop shipped. If you want to get started and get going and see if test your product ideas and find out if your ideas are good and they really can't sell, you can set it up where you can drop ship all those products. And that way you're not, if you don't have the printing equipment and so forth, or you're questioning whether you should get into that or not, well, find out, test it before you go spend, buy from Terry $20,000 worth of equipment or something. But get going.
Exactly.
It's time to get going and test it and get going. This is a way with drop shipping, you can do that.
Totally. So,
it's a great idea.
Vic, thank you so much for your time today. Thanks for all this wonderful information. It's been a blast and fun as usual. So again, if you guys want to check out.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. And everybody make sure you go over and check out iPersonalyze. And as Vic mentioned, just make sure you exchange that I for a Y. So that way it's unique and you know where to find Vic specifically. So Vic, thanks again for your time.
You're very welcome. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Thanks, Vic. All right.
Yeah, that was great, Terry. Was, lots of good information as usual. And
great ideas.
Fun along the way. Yep. And great ideas. Thanks to all the regulators for jumping in and sharing their information as well. All right, Terry. Well, we're going to have a special guest join us here shortly to do five things. So, Eric, can you play five things intro and then bring yourself on, please?
Hey, everybody.
Welcome, Eric. So special guest, Eric Campbell, producer extraordinaire, Batman, all sorts of fun titles. What are you going to share with us today for five things, Eric?
Well, you knew if we were going to talk e-commerce at all that I couldn't shut up. So I was going to have to jump in and do my five things. Thing is, Vic and I are in such a close kind of boundary for what we talk about that I think he preempted everything. And I'm just going to be recapping Vic's five things. So we'll just go with it and see how it goes, folks. Yeah. But my five things is five things to look for in an ideal company store client. What I'm talking about here is putting up online company stores is very much B2B, but as we talked about before, team sports and stuff like that also definitely factor in. And by the way, I'm a big fan of medical, done a bunch of that myself. But the first thing I like to look for is someone who is either multi-location or expanding. People who have a kind of franchise mentality, but it's small, especially local franchises, hospital groups, things like that. Being able to provide uniforming, apparel, and any sort of gear or accessories from a single source really reduces overhead for them in you're kind of making sure that their company and their employees and potentially customers have access to everything that they provide. So multi-location people or people who are expanding to multiple locations, becoming a source to handle their needs for uniforming or for any other accessories can be very helpful to them solve their problems. Second thing, medium-sized, Vic's totally right. You can get into branches of larger companies, but I really love a medium-sized company who's not big enough to have internal commissary or internal production. Sometimes you'll get in with larger companies and find out they do really have the lockdown on a lot of their product. Now, very frequently, there are subgroups in these companies that are allowed to purchase, or whether they're allowed to or not, purchase with local companies. However, the ideal client is one where you're really going to be that single source for all of their gear. Third one is higher turnover. Now, this can be taken in a couple different ways. I like turnover in two ways. One, turnover of employees, especially if we're talking uniforming. When you have things like restaurants, those tend to have a higher turnover, but they have a uniforming package. It just means more uniforms coming from you as a decorated apparel person. Or if they have turnover in the uniforms themselves. I know one of our great sellers was doing a company store for a pizza chain, and because pizza chains ruin garments constantly, well, believe me, you're making a whole lot of aprons. Fourth one is secondary retail stock. If you find somebody who has not only one of these distributed kind of franchises, but has a lot of popularity in their local area, if they are an institution, they may also have a chance to do retail style stock, not only for the employees, but for the people who are buying from them. So you might have their customers coming to you and you could provide a secondary company store experience for them that is more B2C. And fifth thing is multi-channel opportunities. Look for people who are dipping their toes into multiple channels, because you never know when doing the company store for one segment might bleed over into another segment when you're talking to purchasers. So look for that. And the other kind of multi-channel opportunity is to market to other people in the channel from a company store you're already dealing with. When people see proven results in their segment, they're more likely to go with you.
Awesome. Eric, thank you so much for being here with Five Things. Christine says, I feel a bit sad now when you guys read the Five Things list that I did. There was never an intro like that. Do I actually have to come on the show with a list myself to get the intro? Because I can do that. And we'll accept your threat, Christine. Yes, that is what you have to do. You have to come on the show to present your Five Things to be called. But Christine is the community builder extraordinaire,
yes,
the unofficial official writer for Two Regular Guys. So
I would absolutely hear another Five Things about community building. I'm not trying to place an order or anything, but
yeah, speaking of threats,
if you're threatening, I'd love a Five Things about community building that we could play that intro in front of.
Awesome. Well, Eric, great information. Thank you so much, sir. And I appreciate everything that you're doing. Back hey, to
you
the
wanna
back
hang,
for you.
Hang out for a minute, Eric, and you can, talk about,
there you go.
Talk about what you have coming up.
Sure.
I was going to relegate him to the back, Terry, but
yeah, I was going to get sent back to the lobby, but all right.
Yeah.
I
mean, gosh. Well, Terry, why don't you
start? It's like when you're asking for permission for mom and dad both, and it's like mom says no and dad says yes. I guess I get to stay on. Thanks, dad.
Oh, that must be the mom. That's me. That's me. The mom. Right.
All right.
My next complete screen printing business course at Workhorse Products in Phoenix will be July 10th and 11th. It won't be that hot here. These classes, since we're back to in-person classes, they are filling up fast. So if you want to come out to Phoenix for that class, get signed up pretty soon. My complete screen printing class at Atlas Screen Supply, May 22nd and 23rd, has been sold out for a few weeks. Next class in Chicago will be August 21st and 22nd. I'm also doing a webinar on Monday with Marshall Atkinson and with Jeff Baxter. We're going to talk about, for screen printers, when is it time to start thinking about digital production? And that's going to be at 1 o'clock Eastern time through the equipmentzone.com website. So we'd love to have you guys join us for that as well. How about you, Aaron?
Awesome. Yeah, for me, coming up here in just about 30 minutes, Eric is right here. So we will be doing the half. It's 30 minutes of Q&A, and this is the one time that Eric and I will actually be on time. Right, Eric? Right?
Yeah, no exceptions. Okay. Somebody gets dumped every single time.
Yeah, every single week. Sometimes it's planned. Sometimes it's just in good, clean fun. But so 30 minutes tops. So at noon Central Time, we are out the door. And if you want to tune in and check that out live here in just a little bit, it's at liveosg.com is where you can find our Success Group's YouTube page, or while you're over there at YouTube, you can also search Eric Campbell and find Eric's YouTube page. It'll be live there as well. Or if you're a Facebook watcher instead, you can find it over at facebook.com/OurSuccessGroupPro is where you'll find our Facebook page. It'll be there, as well as searching Eric Campbell there on Facebook as well. And you can find it at any of those four places. And coming very soon, we will have a website for the show. It's kind of there. So if you wanted to go check it out, it's thehalf.club, but it's just real basic so far, but at some point there'll actually be something worth going to over there. So go and check that out. Just bookmark it now. Check it out right now, thehalf.club.
So hey, if you're on that website for 30 minutes, does it just shut off?
Tip jar is always open. We just can't talk anymore.
It just says your time is up. Please go to another website.
It should.
Oh my God. Can we make that work? Huh? Now you got the wheel spinning, Terry. All right. The other thing I wanted to share with folks, and I've shared this before, but definitely go and check out our Success Group Business Basics group. It's currently about 2,500 members strong and growing of business owners just like you. There's tons of support, help, and all the latest news when it comes to all things OSG. So if you want to check that out, it's facebook.com/groups/OSG Business Basics. So I'd love to have you. Free group to join over there. Just get in there, answer a couple quick questions, and you're in the group. And like I said, I think it's probably well above 2,500 now. It was 2,500 when I first started talking about that a couple weeks ago, and Todd's been doing a great job building that out. So one quick thing before we get to Eric, though, Christine did mention five things about community building. I can do that. Eric's request is my command. So
thank you very much.
So you have that in your pocket there.
Christine's content is always awesome, and getting to listen to her about that on her own show was really cool. So yeah, I'm very much looking forward to that.
Nice. Excellent. And then Christine says, Terry's so funny about the website, and smart too. That's a great idea. Just got to figure out how to make that work.
Right. If they browse for too long, it just cuts them off. Come on.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think the internet's out. It just turned off.
Nope, we're going to play the jingle and walk you off. That's the way we have to do it.
Exactly. All right, Eric, what do you got coming up here, sir?
All right. It is weird when in the outline everything's written in the third person. I'm like, join Eric today. Wait, all right. Join me. I'm Eric. On my show today at 2:30 Mountain Time for the Take Up. And today it's a speed shop setup and shape building, actually kind of covering some questions from the last 3 weeks. So we'll talk about machine speeds and why things matter with the speed that you're running, shop setups and maintenance on your machines and why it matters where you put your machines, and shape building, a little bit about drawing shapes and some follow-up on technique. So depending on how long I run on this one, hopefully it won't be like a feature-length movie today, but we'll find out, guys. I don't know. I mess around, do 2 hours. Let's see how it goes.
I love it.
But head over to ericcampbell.com. There's a tab at the top labeled The Take Up, and you can find everything there. And the other thing is, I've actually produced a title for the upcoming webinar. So everybody should be scared and worry about themselves and their time, because I will go over. Upcoming webinar is going to be announced shortly with all the rest of the details, but the title is Understanding Emblems, Digitizing Production, Styles, and Sales. So if you want to learn more about digitizing for patches, creating smaller end patches in-house, the range of products that are currently like mixing it up out there in the patch world, and how to sell them, head over right now to decorators.education/DNLD to get on the list. Plans right now are for the main event to happen May 29th. And more details should be coming soon, as well as just a little free webinar where we're going to talk about, you know, why patches, why would you want to get into patches and what they're useful for. And there may or may not be, you know, discounts to be had if you show up. I mean, come on, you know, it's a free webinar. Just show up.
Hey, Eric, if you run long, you should have right in the middle of it that little clip. Let's go out to the lobby.
Yeah, intermission. Believe me, I think I do need intermission. I probably need one on the take up already. So everybody, I can see when the viewers dip and come back. I'm pretty sure that's the bathroom break.
Bathroom break. All right, couple quick things here. Todd mentioned in that OSG Business Basic groups about 2,700. Members strong now. So yep, it is growing. You want to be on that list of growing members there. And then Christine does say the record is still 2.5 hours, just so you know. And that was Christine and I on Small Business Saturdays. So
My poor wife, at the end of Friday, when I come back from all the shows that I've done, I have no voice. I'm tired. I'm working still, but she's just like, I'm sitting there digitizing. She tries to talk to him. I'm just like,
Poor wife. I don't know if she's all that upset about you not being able to talk, Eric. I don't know.
You know, I can't swear one way or another. I will say it does make it a lot harder for me to answer questions or make decisions, which is good for me, but not good for anybody else.
All right. Well, Eric, thank you so much for joining us here at the end and jumping in here. And the five things were great. And
thank you much.
Terry, I think we've come to the close of this show. Not terribly overtime for us, so that's been fantastic. But we want to thank Vic Autry for his time today and all of the great information that he shared. Again, get over to iPersonalize, and that's personalized with a Y at the end. So check him out over there. Give him a call. Talk to him. As you can tell, Vic is a guy who is ready and willing to help people get their businesses growing and started. They've got some great tools over there. So check Vic out, and we appreciate his time today, Terry.
Absolutely. Always love having Vic on the show. And we also want to thank again Eric Campbell for all the things he does to make this show run so smoothly and for doing five things today.
Excellent. Yep. Great stuff from Eric as usual. Next week, Terry, big milestone for us. 400th episode will be happening next Friday. 400 of these things, Terry. Unbelievable, huh?
Unbelievable. I would never have dreamed it 9 years ago.
So, and I feel like we're just getting started here. I think we're just getting into the swing of this. So, next week, we're pretty wide open. Obviously, we just want to celebrate you guys, celebrate the regulators, celebrate people spending an hour or so of their time with us every Friday. So, we've got a bit of a celebration planned. Tuxedos, could be. I've got a file I could send you, Terry, if you knew anybody that had a DTG machine that you could use.
My tuxedo shirt.
Yep. So
I do, in fact, have access to one of those.
All right. So we've got a celebration. Maybe I'll make you one and send it to you. And I'll also send you one of those confetti cannons, and you can set off the confetti cannon this time.
It seems like such a good idea when you do it.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. That's why I was going to send one to you to see how much more excitement came from it. So anyhow, if you guys have suggestions, though, please let us know what you want to talk about. We'll probably talk about past shows and kind of a retrospective, some of our favorite moments, things like that. But again, this is all about you guys, the regulators, the listeners. So anything you want to hear about, anything you want to learn about, anything you want to do to celebrate the 400th episode, please let us know. You can find us at info@tworegularguys.com or right here on our Facebook page, comments, whatever.
I love Dale's idea here.
I just saw that.
Yeah, get some video thank yous for 400 shows from the regulators. We would love to show some things, some videos of our listeners talking about the two regular guys.
That would be fantastic. So just take your phone out, go to selfie mode, stick it up, record whatever you want to say about the two regular guys. Hopefully it's good, but you know, whatever you'd like to say, and then just email it over to us at info@tworegularguys.com. That is a fantastic idea, Dale. Let's high five for that one.
Maybe if it starts with, hey, I met these guys in a bar, I don't know if they'll put that one on, but
yeah. Well, you know. But you can just leave that part out. I think that's pretty much a given, right? And Jerry says we should run bloopers. Here's the thing, Jerry. The bloopers run live. So there are no behind the scenes bloopers, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on which way you look at it. But that's a fantastic idea, Jerry. Thank you for sharing that.
We are in front of a live studio audience every week.
That's right. Ooh, that's what we need. Okay. All right. So anyhow, that's next week, Terry, 400th episode. Really looking forward to that.
All right. Until then, I'm Terry Combs. He's Aaron Montgomery.
And we are the two regular guys.
Here we go. We're out!
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to Two Regular Guys. Check out our website at tworegularguys.com. That's the number 2regularguys.com. You can also interact with us over at our Facebook page, facebook.com/tworegularguys, or send us a tweet, twitter.com/tworegularguys. And we have a YouTube page. You can find all that from our website, tworegularguys.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to spending some time with you again next week.